Welcome back. 447, 730 AM, 102.9 FM, WTNT. It's Andy Parks live from the Washington Times. And on this Monday afternoon, I am joined now by Stephen Dinan, Washington Times political editor. Hello, Stephen.
Hello, Andy.
A couple of things to talk to you about. One, I was very glad to see that you checked into Paul Ryan's voting record. And it's funny that your headline shows conservatism, but it's tinged with a maverick streak. That's very interesting. What do you mean by that?
So up and down the line, he generally has a conservative, in fact, a very conservative voting record. But there are a few particularly noteworthy exceptions to that, where he was one of a handful or one of only a couple dozen Republicans to vote a certain way on some major legislation, major votes, and two of them that come to mind. First was on Cuba travel restrictions, and this has been sort of a perennial fight there in Congress, where the lawmakers try and Democrats and a few Republicans, particularly libertarian-minded Republicans, have tried to push for a relaxation of those travel restrictions, and they usually fail. But there are a few libertarian-minded Republicans who end up siding with the Democrats. In fact, it's usually led by a guy named Jeff Flake from Arizona, who is sort of the chief spokesman for the libertarian side of Republicans, short of Ron Paul. And Ryan actually has been a pretty regular supporter of those efforts by Jeff Flake. So that's one of those. And then he also, on the other side, of course, is just up and down the line, he also was a supporter of most of the Bush agenda, and some folks may not actually consider all of that conservative, but so he was a reliable Republican vote with those those couple of special exceptions such as Cuba.
Uh-huh. All right. Now he has he's voted against some things like the Peace Corps you mentioned, expanding debt relief to foreign nations. There are a couple other things that he's kind of surprised some people on.
Right. Oh, I'm sorry. I should mention the other. In addition to Cuba, the other big sort of break with conservative orthodoxy was he voted for the Employment Non-Discrimination Act, which is that was one that Democrats had thought that would have meant that employers who discriminate based on sexual orientation. Right now, there are hate crimes laws that deal with sexual orientation, but it doesn't actually extend to in the workplace and employer decisions. And the Democrats want to pass legislation that would extend it to those. And Ryan had actually voted for that, though it hasn't passed. And so that was another area. But on the other side of things, generally, if you want to characterize his record, you'd say anywhere where it came to the government spending more money on some of these particular programs, such as the Peace Corps, was actually he voted against expanding it. There was a bill that would have moved it up to, I think, 10,000 Peace Corps. They're called volunteers, even though so 10,000 Peace Corps volunteers, and he voted against that. And as you said, he voted against, he voted to cut federal funding for NPR and for Planned Parenthood in the last go-around last year when the House Republicans had their first big fight over spending after they gained control. So essentially, any of these times when you would think, when there's just a basic question of, hey, should the government be involved in this, he's probably voting with the libertarian mind conservatives and saying, no, the federal government doesn't need to spend money on that.
Yeah. He's got some pretty high ratings, though, from conservative organizations. I mean, I look to the NRA. I know he's got a high approval rating there.
A rating, right.
Yeah. And I know that when I was speaking with Al Cardenas a little while ago from the American Conservative Union, they had him pegged at like 92%. I mean, this guy, he's a staunch conservative in the eyes of many. How does he feel about stuff like renewable energy?
He's actually voted for some of those programs. In particular, it's a renewable fuel standard. This gets a little complex, but there is a bill that would have required every state to make sure that electricity is generally done by states, and it would have required every state to make sure that the electricity generated within it, of the electricity generated, 15% came from renewable resources. And that Ryan actually voted for that requirement, one of a handful of Republicans to do so, and that actually got hit. The Chamber of Commerce was not happy with that vote. Environmentalists were actually happy with that vote, but that's about all the environmentalists were happy with. Generally, he scores very badly, less than a 25% rating from, say, the League of Conservation Voters. So, it really is a conservative record tinged with a couple of these curious votes where he's stepped out. You know, one thing we should say, the one area where he's been absolutely consistent with no variation has been his pro-life record. I believe it was in his 14 years in Congress, he's had 78 votes that National Right to Life Committee has scored, and he has voted the pro-life position on all 78 of those. And that's a really non-deviant record. You know, yeah. It's tough to amass. There have been some tough votes in there on things like stem cell research, right. And even a couple of bills that dealt with things like bankruptcy protection, where the pro-life community took a stand because it wouldn't have allowed abortion clinic protesters to declare bankruptcy to get out from some of these judgments. You know, things like that, where it wasn't just a straight pro-life, but he took the pro-life position every single time. So, you know, one area where he's been very consistent.
Yeah. On a personal note, were you surprised with the selection of Ryan?
Wow. Yes. For this reason and this reason only, Mitt Romney had seemed to be taking the path of making this election a referendum on President Obama. He'd seemed very averse to turning it into a big election about big ideas, essentially a choice between a Republican vision and a Democratic vision. He seemed to just be intent on making this, hey, if you don't like Barack Obama, you're going to vote for me. We, you know, come on over here. Selecting Ryan, it instantly changes that. It changes this from a referendum election into a choice election.
Right.
There's a lot of risk in doing that. There's a whole lot of risk in doing that. The American public, it's a lot easier to say, hey, if you hate him, I'm here, you know, come look at me. That's a lot easier than saying, hey, if you hate him, we've got an alternative. Now you've got to figure out if you actually like our alternative. And if you don't, well, you may end up going back to that other guy. So it's very risky, but the reward is great. If he wins it, if Romney wins with this, having embraced Paul Ryan and, you know, to whatever extent he's going to embrace the Ryan budgets, that means that he comes into office, if he wins, with a real mandate. And, you know, we may have talked about this before, but it's President Bush's big mistake in 2004 was running without without much of a domestic mandate at all, and he got reelected, and then, only then, tried to run a campaign-style push for Social Security reform, and, you know, it was after the election. Voters had already voted, and they tuned out, and so he didn't have a domestic mandate because of the way he ran, and of course, Social Security, he didn't get anywhere with it. Romney, if he'd stayed with the anti-Obama, his only mandate would have been, I'm everything that guy isn't, and that's not very explicit. Now, if he runs with the Paul Ryan mandate and wins, he will be able to come to Congress next year and say, look, the voters said they back this vision of fundamentally changing the deal that government has, saying we can't continue to spend, so you in Congress, let's get together and get this done. So it's very high risk, very high reward.
Yeah. All right. One other thing I want to touch base with you on before you leave today, and that is the GOP suing to force Obama compliance on Fast and Furious. What happened?
So this is this thing that's been percolating for a while, and we've talked about the House Republicans had issued a subpoena,
right.
for a lot of these documents, and then had actually when Attorney General Eric Holder refused to turn over those documents, they then held him, voted on the floor of the House to hold him in contempt of Congress. First time the sitting Attorney General has ever been held in contempt of Congress, and so the problem with that, of course, is that there's no real way to enforce that, because generally what you do to enforce a subpoena is you go to the U.S. Marshals and the U.S. Attorneys and you say, hey, go take care of this. Go serve these documents. In this case, of course, those people all report to Eric Holder, so they weren't about to do that. So House Republicans have, as of today, have filed documents in a civil suit asking the courts to compel Eric Holder to comply. And so it's a real escalation in what's been a simmering and at times heated constitutional crisis. And we are now officially at constitutional crisis level, where one branch of the government has asked the third branch to go after the second branch.
Yeah, that's very strange. Probability of success, any idea?
You know, I actually, it's a good question. The main question is whether it ever gets to that, if the administration decides to play ball, which it doesn't look like they will, or if the courts could always toss it out for a reason, saying, oh, it's not ripe or whatnot. I actually don't think that's true in this case. I think this one is likely to, if House Republicans stick with it, it's likely to go on, and I think we'll actually see the courts rule on it. And my guess is, judging by what I've read from some of the Congressional Research Service reports, now of course they report to Congress, but they're nonpartisan, I think that the House Republicans probably have a better leg than the administration in this case.
Yeah, and if time is of the essence, as they say, will the court act quickly? Any indication?
No, I mean, that's the other big question, and I'd be shocked. This is like the sort of thing where, just like, you know, there have been a couple of these things. But John Boehner actually was in a big dispute over wiretapping back during the Clinton administration, and that took about 10 years to work its way through the courts. You know, this is the sort of thing where we'll probably get a very important decision, but it'll probably come a decade down the road.
Yeah, you'll be calling me at home. I'll be in my rocking chair sitting on the porch.
I'll be there with you. Hopefully I'll retire too.
All right, Stephen. Hey, thanks a lot. Appreciate it.
Always my pleasure.
Take care. Stephen Dynan, Washington Times political editor. It is 4:57, 7:30 a.m., 102.9 FM, WTNT.